making the time and joining us for our final results presentation. I would like to start by saying that we hope you and your families are well, and that this call is informative whether you are working from home or perhaps starting back in the office, depending on which country you are in. I am pleased to report that everyone at BEFCO is in good health, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank the whole team here for their commitment and ongoing successful remote working. It's been an extraordinary few months, and COVID-19 has made a huge impact on people, companies, and financial markets across the world. We, as the BEFCO management team, are closely monitoring our investments and the situation facing our portfolio companies. I would remind you that our investments are in resilient, defensive sectors and high-quality businesses within those. We are not exposed to some of the areas worst hit by the crisis. We are long-term, constructive investors, and we will advise and engage with our investee companies as necessary as they navigate their way through the changing environment. As an investment business, we remain resilient. We've adapted quickly on the liquidity and balance sheet levels, which we will go through in detail, and we have a prudent capital structure. Now, I think it's important to also mention that as a family, we made a big philanthropic effort in Colombia during the crisis focused on three things. Food security, where we provided basic groceries for over 200,000 families in Colombia. Medical protective equipment for healthcare workers, and also building out ICU units in the country, and thirdly, focused on domestic violence, which is an issue that has spiked during the crisis. That, I think it's important that we note that that's something that we've done. It did not affect BEFCO in any way, but the family donated over $25 million for this effort. Now, moving on to the presentation, I'd like to start off by presenting the speakers today on page 3. Carlos Alejandro Perez Davila, a member of the Board of Managers. Juan Carlos Garcia Canizares, a member of the Board of Managers. Dominic Bursucano, our Finance Director. And myself, Alejandro Santodomingo, a member of the Board of Managers. Now, on page 4, you will see the agenda. And moving on to page 5, the 2019 year in review, you can see that BEFCO had an operating income of 271.8 million euros and other comprehensive income of 2.2 billion euros. All this from dividends of its holdings, dividends and appreciation from its holdings. Throughout 2019, we continued to prudently manage our balance sheet. In Q1, we extended our credit facilities for a total amount of $850 million to 3- and 5-year terms. In Q3, BEFCO sold assets for $100 million, which was applied to debt reduction. This has led to a full year reduction of consolidated LTVs from 12.7% as of December 2018 to 8.9% as of December 2019. A more diversified portfolio, prudent financial management, and a conservative balance sheet resulted in Standard & Poor's reaffirming BEFCO's rating of BBB with a stable outlook in December 2019, while noting an increase in the upper target LTV range for BEFCO from 15 to 20%. Now, moving on to page 6, the events in 2020. In the context of the COVID-19 pandemic in Q1 2020, BEFCO increased its cash on hand by drawing on its credit facilities. We drew a total of 361 million euros, and then in turn, BEFCO extended a $200 million loan to Aguila on an arm's length basis, of which $100 million was repaid now in June, with BEFCO retaining 249 million euros of cash at the level. For the period ending June 19, 2020, BEFCO received distributions and dividends from the portfolio companies, which include 27,345,988 shares of Keurig Dr. Pepper, which based on the price as of June 10th is about 690 million euros. We also received 51 million euro dividend from AB InBev. Taken together, BEFCO anticipates to end H1 2020 in an estimated LTV in the low to mid-teens percent. Now, passing on to page 7, our key highlights. BEFCO is a holding company with $8.5 billion in AUM. We have a high-quality investment portfolio. We have total external debt of 831 million euros, and we have a BBB credit rating by S&P. Our LTV, the discount for lack of marketability, or what we call DLOM, is 8.9%. Our ICR, our interest coverage ratio, is 9.9 times, and our leverage ratio of 3.1 times. Now I'd like to pass on to Carlos Alejandro Perez Dávila. Sorry, Carlos, we can't hear you.
Sorry, I had it on mute. Sorry about that. Thank you, Alejandro. Yes, good morning or good afternoon to everybody. We're basically on page 8, and I'm going to give a brief overview of our portfolio. Most importantly, you know, how we see our portfolio and how we see ourselves as investors in these companies. We consider ourselves long-term investors, and we see our participation as partners to the companies we invest in. We have an experienced investment team, which has a main focus in the consumer goods industry. And we believe we add value by providing strategic and financial support to all of our companies. BEFCO's portfolio is defensive. Our consumer businesses are part of the everyday lives of many around the world, and whether they are working from home or working in essential roles on the front lines, basically, in these times of COVID-19, the consumer sector in general, while undergoing changes, has been comparatively robust versus other more exposed pockets of the economy. Our portfolio includes a significant minority interest in AB InBev, the world's largest brewer, also an important minority interest in Keurig Dr. Pepper and JDE, which is the largest pure-play coffee company in the world with brands including Dr. Pepper, Peet's, Green Mountain, and Gloria Jean's. We also have a minority interest in Colonial, which is the leading Eurozone ultra-prime office real estate company with assets in Barcelona, Madrid, and Paris. The important thing of Colonial's portfolio is that it truly is an ultra-prime portfolio where 87% of the portfolio is in office buildings with investment-grade tenants and only 6% exposure to prime retail, which has been hit the hardest in these times. We also have an important position in investment partnership in Upfield, which is a global plant-based foods business that includes brands such as Bacel, Flora, Country Rock, Blue Band, and Proactive. And finally, we also have an important position in Kraft Heinz, which actually has been doing a lot better through these times of COVID, and it is one of the largest food and beverage companies in the world with a dedicated presence in over 40 countries. Moving on to page 10, just to give a little bit more color as to how we participate in these companies. Again, we see ourselves, as Alejandro also mentioned, as a long-term value-added partner. We participate in and support the boards of directors as long-term reference shareholders with a unique investment horizon. We contribute to define strategic priorities, performance targets, and to align the company's strategic goals and business plans. Most of this we accomplish by participating in the different committees in these companies. We also support all M&A sourcing. We also help them in executing the guidelines and integration via the board committees again. And finally, we provide our input to make sure that the capital structure and the business plan is working accordingly to the initial plans. Again, most of what we do is through the board of directors and through active participation in board committees. And now...
Thank you, Carlos.
Yeah, Juan Carlos, yeah.
I will pick up the section of financial statements starting on page 11, jointly with our finance director, Dominic Burzucano. We're presenting the numbers as of December 31, 2019, starting on page 12. We have on the asset side, the main component of the asset base is ABI restricted shares, 96.9 million shares, with a value of December 2019 of 6,128,000,000 euro. In addition to that, as you may recall, BEPCO owns 6 million common shares of ABI, valued at 436 million euro. The investment in Colonial was worth, as of 2019, 328 million euro. And we held at fair market value private equity securities and partnerships for a value of 1,494 million euro. In addition to that, we had loans granted to affiliates of 76 million euro, cash and cash equivalents for 22 million euro, for total assets of 8,485 million euro. On the liability section, we had loans and borrowings, including the Eurobond, for 1,028 million euro. In equity, the number of 7,451 million euro. And further details on loan borrowings would appear in the appendix, as well as the accompanied financial statements. On page 13, we have the consolidated profits and losses statement. We reported for the year ending in December 31, 2019, total net income of 274 million euro. We had administrative expenses for 2 million euro and finance costs and others for a total of 44 million euro, which include payment of interest pursuant to the equity certificates that are held by affiliates, resulting in a profit before tax of 228 million euro. Taxes of 1 million euro for a total of profit for the year of 227 million euro. On page 14, we have the same financial information for segment reporting, where you can see that Brewery, the investment in FBI, represents the majority of the dividend income for BEFCO, 187 million euro on the left for 2019. Secondly, distributions from private equity, securities and partnerships for a total of 85 million euro, and then 3 million euro from real estate, resulting in total net income of 275 million euro. And after allocating administrative expenses, we arrive at the operating income of 272 million euro and the profit for the year of 227 million euro. On page 15, we have the statement of comprehensive income. We had, starting with the profit of the year of 227 million euro, we had three line items in other comprehensive income, 1,961 million euro in net gains from investments at fair market value through OCI. Then we had a gain on disposal of investment securities for 29 million euro. And we earmarked 5 million for income tax related to those disposals, resulting in other comprehensive income of 1,985,000,000 euro, and therefore total comprehensive income for the year of 2,212,000,000 euro. Dominic will walk us through the cash flow statements.
Hello, everybody. This is Dominic Bustacana speaking. On the next two slides, slide 16 and 17, we present the consolidated cash flow statement. The consolidated cash flow statement is subdivided into three categories. Firstly, cash flow from operating activities. Secondly, cash flow from investing activities. And thirdly, cash flow from financing activities. In the first section, on the top of the cash flow on slide 16, the profit before tax gets adjusted to represent the true use of cash from operating activities. Therefore, we have to reverse out dividend income, interest income, and finance costs from the operating activities and include them into the subcategories later on in the cash flow statement into investing and financing activity. Typically, for investment holding company, the amount shown from operating activities is minor compared to the overall cash movement. And for 2019, BEFCO Lux recorded a cash outflow of 3 million euro. We can move on to slide 17. In the cash flow from investing activities, there are two points I would like to mention. BEFCO Lux received dividends from its various investments in the amount of 272 million. And secondly, Bevqolac received 100 million from proceeds on the disposal of assets. All cash movements combined led to a cash inflow of 438 million euro. In the next section, in the cash flow from on financing activities, the following movements are recorded. Bevqolac made dividend distribution to its parent company, USD Bevco, in the amount of 242 million in 2019. Drawdowns and repayments with credit institutions on various committed loan facilities resulted in a net cash outflow of 140 million, which brings down the borrowing from financial institutions to 50 million euro at year end. Finance costs have increased due to the interest payment on the preferred equity certificate, which Bevqolac has issued to its parent company, USD Bevco. Excluding this amount from the interest expenses, in 2019 would have been recorded 3 million euros lower compared to 2018. Bear in mind, those interest expenses were not recorded recorded in 2018. All cash movements combined led to a cash outflow of 423 million. Therefore, cash and cash equivalent position increased by 11 million to 22 million at the year end. We can now move on to slide 18.
Thank you, Dominic. We'll run through our credit metrics for that period, starting on page 18. On page 19, the key events for 2019 again. Through the year, Bevco continued to prudently manage the balance sheet. On one hand, we extended our committed revolving credit facilities significantly ahead of maturities for an aggregate amount of 850 million euro. To 3 and 5 year tranches. And in addition to that, we continue adding unsecured tranches to each of the maturities. Therefore, we continue our gradual process towards financing ourselves primarily through unsecured lending as opposed to secured lending. In addition to that, also preemptively in Q3, we realized 100 million in asset sales, which were entirely applied towards debt reduction. The result of these combinations plus asset appreciation, as explained in other comprehensive income, was that the resulting LTV, excluding DLOM, declined from 12.7% in December 2018 to 8.9% in December 2019, a reduction of close to 400 basis points. And we ended the year with a very strong interest coverage ratio of 9.9 times and a leverage ratio of 3.1 times. In addition to that, through the second half of 2019, we held conversations with Standard & Poor's, and in December 2019, S&P published on Bevco, did its annual review, and reaffirmed the BBB rating with a stable outlook, noting a permissible increase in the upper target LTV of 20%, that 20% is calculated as LTV excluding the loan, so it's comparable to one mentioned in the prior bullet. And that publication is available in the investor relations site, in Bevco's investor relations site. Now, when we look at 2020, we are starting to produce the June 2020 numbers. And based on what we know today, we would anticipate the LTV to be completely consistent with the middle range of that LTV range, and we expect LTV to be in the mid to low teens in percentage terms by June 30, 2020. On page 20, you will have the core ratios for locks, for Bevco locks, starting on the left, the LTV numbers. You see that as of 2018, focusing in gray on the LTV excluding DLOM, we ended the year with the 12.7%. That was 9.8% for June 2019 and further declined to 8.9% for 2019. As a reminder, the discount of lack of marketability is caused by the restriction trading of the ABI shares. That restriction lapses in October 2021, and the DLOM therefore will contract continuously through October 2021 and will lapse then at which point we will simplify the metric to one single LTV calculation. Then in the middle section, we have the interest coverage ratio. We ended 2018 with 10.1 times ICR, and that for 2019 was 9.9 times. And the leverage ratio was substantially stable, ending 2018 at 3.2 times, and ending 2019 at 3.1 times. On page 21, we include the same ratios, adding also BevCo's immediate parent, which is USD BevCo, and they're substantially the same on the LTV basis because it's the same drawdown amount, and they decline marginally in the interest cover ratio as a consequence of the commitment fees paid by the for the U.S. lending facilities. So the commitment fees are taken into account, hence there's a small reduction in ICR and in the leverage ratio, but the LTV is the same. On page 22, you have an update of the debt facilities for December 2019. Starting on the left, as of that date, we only had the outstanding Eurobond that matures in February 2023 for 800 million euro. And we only had drawn on our committed revolver facilities the amount of 50 million euro. You will see in the middle section the available facilities, and you will see that there is unsecured facilities now added for 2020, 21, and 22. So therefore, we continue the migration to unsecured facilities. And we have significant available facilities after the maturity of the bond issue as well. And then on the right side, you will see the aggregate amount of facilities where, as of that date, we had over 1.8 billion euro of undrawn committed facilities. For further information, subsequent events are included in the appendix as well as in section 21 of our financial statements. Thank you, Alejandro.
Now moving on to closing remarks on page 24. Since February 2020, members of BevCo's Board of Managers have been focused on liquidity at both BevCo and our investee companies through our board representatives. Despite the impact of COVID-19 on the valuation of BevCo's publicly traded investments, BevCo has a defensive portfolio of consumer goods companies and prime real estate, which are high-quality companies and diversified across geographies and currencies. BevCo concluded 2019 in a conservative position with a BBB rating affirmed by S&P and LTV and ICR of 8.9% and 9.9 times respectively as of December 2019. In 2020, in response to market volatility, BevCo increased cash at hand and continues to have significant unused credit facility headroom, as Juan Carlos mentioned. Now, in terms of our ongoing commitment to having a conservative capital structure, we will continue to have excellent financial disclosures. We will engage with investors and stakeholders. We will continue to access European debt capital markets. We commit to preserve our investment-grade credit metrics, and we will continue to transition from secured to unsecured funding models. Thank you very much for listening to the presentation. Now we're going to move on to Q&A. I will start off by answering a couple of questions which were asked online. The first question is the leverage target of an LTV between 15 and 20% is at BevCo level and excluding DLOM on ABI restricted shares? So is the leverage target of an LTV of 15 to 20% excluding DLOM? Yes, that is correct. It excludes the DLOM. Are you planning, the second question is, are you planning to distribute any dividends to Aguila this year, 2020? Dividends are decided by the Aguila, by the BevCo board in light of the operating income and expected investments and divestments. At this stage, no dividend decision has been made. The third question is, are you going to receive any proceeds from Acorn IPO of JDE at the end of May? We did not receive any proceeds from the JDE IPO. We have our investment in JDE through Acorn. We did, however, receive, as mentioned in the presentation, 27.3 million shares of Keurig Dr. Pepper. on June 10th. The fourth question is, what is your base case on an ABI dividend for the second half of 2020? And with that regard, ABI has announced a reduction of the 2019 dividend to 50 cents per share, which was paid on June. No further announcements by ABI have been done. I'd invite you to consult ABI and ABI public filings on this matter. Those are the questions that have been asked online. There are no further questions online. Now I'd like to open the questions up to the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. If you're joining us online, you can register a question by selecting the flag icon on your web browser or selecting the same flag icon if you change your mind. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. Our first question comes from Sandra Sawyer from Inviva Investors. Sandra, your line's open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have three questions. First, the explanation of the increase in the financial cost in the cash flow statement from 22 to 41. The second question, just to fully understand the decrease in the discount you apply to the restricted shares has decreased. It's because, you know, we are approaching the timing of those shares being not restricted anymore, I guess. So I just want to have a confirmation of that. And last, can you give us, you received 26 million shares of Keurig Dr. Pepper. Is it the whole stake that you have, or you have also some other shares? And do you disclose, you know, the direct or indirect stake in Kraft and in Upfield?
Okay. So starting with, I'm going to take the second question first. The decrease in the DLOM, that's based on Black-Scholes modeling and the timing of the lockup ending. So it's based on Black-Scholes option model. And as the time goes by, the discount goes down. Juan Carlos, okay. I don't know if you want to complement that in any way.
Yes, it's a function of interest rates, volatility, and the term of the lockup. So it's an exponential and will result in zero when the lockup expires. Therefore,
okay.
It is gradually declining exactly through October 2021.
Juan Carlos, Dominic,
yes.
Do you want to answer with regards to the increase in the financial cost, which was the first question?
Yeah, no, I can answer this. So if you spotted correctly, the increase in finance cost, so in the financing, we have primarily, when you compare the 2018 numbers, the cost, the financial institution, and the Eurobond, which is made up of the coupon payment, the commitment fees, and the interest payment. However, in 2019, we also have interest expenses on the preferred equity certificate. And when you look in the financial statement in note 15, this amount is disclosed there in more detail. And it's about, I think it's about 60 million.
Thank you. Now, the third question, with regards to KDP, the 27 million shares is 75% of our holding in KDP. So there's still 25% that we own through Acorn. With regards to Kraft and Upfield, Juan Carlos, I'm going to let you take that one.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes, we own those through investment partnerships, and given the size of both companies, the investment is small, particularly in Kraft Heinz is smaller. In Upfield is more material, but the exact percentage interest is not disclosed.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? And did we answer you? First of all, did we answer your questions, all your questions? And not, are there any other questions?
Our next question comes from Ben Stupples from Bloomberg News. Ben, your line's open. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for the presentation. I just wanted to ask, mainly focused on Alejandro, but anyone else can answer. Of course, you know, you've moved away from maybe InBev as a main asset. Have you got further plans to keep diversifying the sort of the holdings within BevCo throughout the next year or so?
Our strategy relatively always kind of stays the same. We won't sell down our stake. We plan on being long-term investments at AB InBev, but we will use the dividends to reinvest in other companies, and that strategy will continue as the opportunities arise. Any other questions?
Our next question comes from Marco Zanotto from Kemp Capital Management. Marco, your line's open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. I have two questions. One still related to the KDP. So you received 27.3 million shares. How is that going to look like? I mean, these shares is part of your investment portfolio, so it's going to be remain in the listed part of your investment portfolio going forward. So shall we consider that similarly to the Colonial stakes that you have? And second of all, indeed, about the Colonial investment that you have, which is quite of a different nature, if I'm considering like the beer, but also food, coffee, so more tilt towards the consumer space. Is the Colonial also considered, let's say, a core investment, or is something that you might rotate out of in order to increase or build up a new stake in some other companies within the consumer space?
I'm going to take the first part of the question with regards to KDP. So we've been investors in KDP since the take private of Keurig in 2014, I think it was. And we will continue to be investors. There are lockups to those 27 million shares. You should consider it a core holding, but I think we will probably at some point reduce that stake down to lower numbers and redeploy that capital somewhere else. Juan Carlos, do you want to talk with regards to Colonial?
Yes, thank you. Colonial is a defensive real estate play, primarily in the office space. Is not a bad complement to a long-term investor and has provided very attractive long-term returns. So at this stage, continues to be a core holding. We obviously assess through the board and investment committees each position from time to time and see how it's performing and how the investment thesis continues to perform. At this stage, no decision has been made. I would invite you to look into the public disclosures that Colonial has done this year, but it was, I believe, one of the very few European real estate companies that received a reiteration or a maintenance of its rating agencies by both its ratings by both investment grade ratings by both S&P and Moody's, contrary to most companies that were downgraded. So companies are in a very stable financial position. Investment thesis continues to play out, and at this stage, there's no decisions being made on that.
Thank you, Juan Carlos.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
Our final question comes from Francisco Moreno from UBS. Francisco, your line's open. Please go ahead. Francisco, your line's open. Please ask your question. We have no answer from Francisco, so back to you.
I just want to thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join this presentation. I hope everyone stays well and safe, and thank you very much. Look forward to our next